Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
And we're live.
We're live. Not at the hive.
Not at the hive.
Not at the hive.
Well, one of us is. So technically,
I think technically for the lockdown, I think that's allowed if it's just one person in there.
I walk. From my, I live alone. I come here alone. I'm always alone, so I'm fine. Yeah,
that's good.
Is that a preferred state of being, though,
Yvonne? Well, I mean, I used to be, but now it's kind of lonely, to be honest. Yeah.
I know. Well, I actually say that a lot. So we'll just let people stream on in here. Mm-hmm. I am very lucky to have a large family, so the level of chaos and interaction feels pretty natural. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I can imagine that during times like this, it's difficult if you live alone. And I have a lot of sympathy for people. Like, I used to live in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and I lived in either a studio or a one bedroom. And I couldn't imagine, like, if you live in New York City in one of those studio apartments right now, without a balcony.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Welcome everybody to episode 163. Ben Miller, how you doing?
Ben's there. April's there. April's shutting you out, Yvonne. There you go.
I think it would be LN at TH, wouldn't it? And I'm not at the hive. Yeah.
Live. Yep.
So welcome, everybody, and welcome to Hashtag Marketing Twitter. If you're here from Twitter, that is an excellent hashtag group of marketers. If you're not a member, you should go and join.
Yeah, you were talking about that last week. I went in and got a couple follows in and followed some people. So definitely a cool section of Twitter for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So on episode 163 of Live at the Hive, Digital Marketing from the Trenches, today we are going to talk about automations and automation platforms that you can use in your day-to-day work life. And you know what? It doesn't even have to have anything to do with marketing. I think one of the things that we talk about and people talk about a lot is marketing automation. So your Marketo, Eloqua, ActiveCampaign, HubSpot. But there are platforms that you can use to automate anything that is repetitive and time consuming and super boring and something that can be automated. Wow, we've got 15 live viewers today.
Yeah, there you go. It's a good Friday.
Awesome. So welcome everybody. So yes, today we are going to be talking about platforms and techniques that you can use today to maintain your sanity. I think I might start with an anecdote. Like, Yvonne, you do quite a bit of community management, so you're looking at UGC. I think even in the process of getting today's live together, did you manage to help make your life a little bit smoother?
Yeah. I was just looking into, are we talking about the Instagram tag posts? I looked into it just the other day just to see it, because I know that we have a lot of some clients that get tagged quite a lot, and we like to disperse it throughout the month so that we don't forget who posted and all that. And there's a way to automate it so that I can grab all of those posts into one and then check them off when I've used them, and then I don't have to worry about it.
And you've got a little robot buddy out there in the scouring the internet to check for those hashtags and add it into a nice handy Google sheet for you. So that whenever you go to do your UGC and engage with the audience and grow that audience, then it's a nice centralized process. So that was, I would call it a happy accident out of us talking about this.
For sure.
Cool. Did we have anything? What's new this week, fellas?
Yeah, I believe we have a little bit of what's new this week. Again, this is kind of like a big jam-packed slideshow that we're going to be kind of showcasing this week. But there was some stuff that actually did catch our attention this week. Let me see here. What
I believe it was our Google Search Console updates, which are extremely important.
There was another Google Search update that just came out. And, you know, this report, it's now giving you a little bit more different kind of like categories and labels for some errors and responses. But, you know, they also have some quality of life changes here that are definitely helping with some of the URLs and websites that are getting SEO'd.
Yeah, for sure. So where this comes in handy from a technical SEO perspective, and if, whether you're a technical SEO marketer or not, understanding how the Google Search Console works and giving you the anomaly reports. So they removed the generic crawl anomaly issue type, which is kind of like, oops, something went wrong. So just as a sidebar, I just got an interesting Firefox pop-up saying Firefox just issued an update today and Firefox has stopped a social network from tracking you here. Your privacy matters. Firefox now blocks common social media trackers, limiting how much data they can collect about what you do online.
That sounds like a certain platform that I'm familiar with. Starts with an F, maybe, ends with a book.
Maybe, yeah. So these Search Console updates are important because even as a marketer, you can identify issues that you could flag to your technical team, to your dev team. All you have to do is get familiar with the fact that there is an issue here. And you could be the hero or heroine. I don't know what's politically correct to say today, but the hero generically of identifying technical issues using your Google Search Console data, which hopefully you're streaming through into Google Data Studio as well using a connector, which is a form of an automation. Chad's saying, who doesn't want a little robot helper, buddy? Exactly.
That's true.
Yeah, lots of them, for sure. April's saying automations make you work smarter, not harder.
That's heard a lot around here.
Yeah. 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 Well, one of the things that I like to say about automations, and as we tee this up, so we dive right into it for the audience, the one thing I did want to say is that if you are watching us on Facebook and this is your first time, please drop a note in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. Lurkers, you're totally welcome as well if you're not comfortable, but we would love to hear from you and hear what you have to say. And hopefully we'll give you some good tips and takeaways if you're not using these automation platforms. So why don't we dive right in and get going?
Alrighty. So first, we kind of just want to talk about, you know, saving time and the quality of life that a lot of these automations can give you. And, you know, they range, like Dan said and Vaughn said earlier, they range everything from, you know, quality of life to managing leads, social content, but also matching two programs together, like maybe Shopify and Google Sheets, just to sort through things. And then later on through here, we do have some nice kind of, you know, quality of life, everyday kind of automations that kind of work with maybe your Spotify or, you know, one like finding your phone through Google Assistant. So definitely some variety in here for sure.
For sure. And some of the ones we're going to look at. So ActiveCampaign is a marketing automation and customer experience platform because it does a lot more than email. Zapier, Integromat, and IFTTT are what we call their codeless API interfaces. That's just geek speak. So you can actually do the work of a software developer by clicking a bunch of buttons and mapping all of your connections together between what would have traditionally been disparate platforms. And what we're trying to do is remove information silos and move data automatically between platforms. So some of the automations we're going to talk about today are very simple, and that's intentional because automations can get very complicated if you want them to, and they can work magic. But when you get started, the first tip that I would give, I've managed, we've had some pretty greasy, incredibly complicated automations running based on multiple factors. So my suggestion to you is, as you start to set these up, start really simply, get it working, and then add to it in small chunks. Don't try to, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, basically.
So. Yeah, for sure. You wanna keep it simple because, yeah, they do get pretty in-depth and pretty crazy, especially if you're working with two platforms that don't really speak nicely together. So yeah, these ones will just kind of get you started and point you in the right direction of tools.
Yeah. So in terms of before we jump into the email marketing automation, which is something that we use quite frequently, obviously, is I think one thing about automation platforms that are really, it's really important to highlight is automations are kind of, they're only as good or bad as you design them. Right. Yep. So there are a few automations that we're going to kind of warn you against, in addition to ways that you can use it beneficially. And so, you know, some people will say, well, I hate automations. That sounds really spammy. Well, they can be spammy if you create them to be spammy, right? If you create them to be useful, they can be incredible time savers and efficiency winners for you. So let's dive right in. Okay. So the first one is one that we're, I think, quite everyone is, well, maybe I'm living in my own bubble. Email marketing automation has been around for quite a while. It is the foundation and pillar of several platforms like ActiveCampaign, Pardot, Marketo, Eloqua, HubSpot, for example. Now, one of the things that's really important, there's a very basic cadence that's set up here. There's a campaign sign up, a thank you email, the user opened, then they get another offer email. If they didn't open, they get an offer extension, right? Based on some time-based symptom. It's important to note that email marketing automation now is a lot more specifically advanced than just did they open, did they click. Some of the email marketing automations that you can create, I'll give you an example of one that we use at Honeypot Marketing. When someone fills out, we have several lead magnets and we have obviously our general contact form. When any of those forms are filled out, a personalized reply is sent to that individual introducing Honeypot Marketing to them, asking them three key questions and asking them when a good time to book an appointment to connect would work. That automatically sends a notification to the team, and then we can reply manually. The user is then also added to Pipedrive, our CRM. A potential deal is opened and created, and a note is then sent to them as well to book a meeting using our meeting booking system, which we knock out at that point. We've knocked out, you know, four or five emails and manually trying to manage all of the leads that may be coming in and communicating with those people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some of the other keys that you can use with ActiveCampaign are specific pages on your site. So if you have a blog series or product pages, or for example, maybe FAQs and a knowledge base, you could trigger an email sequence to reach out to your customers to find out if they're having any issues, right? To help them walk them through it. And offload and save yourself a ton of time. So specifically, you can create filters for different sections on your site and then trigger any number of outcomes. You could notify a support team member to reach out to this person, which is a nice way to say, hey, we're proactively following up with you to see that everything's okay. Yep. The most important thing I think to think about is when you're creating these automations, what you want to do is even on a piece of paper is write down the steps that you're doing today and what you're trying to achieve. And that's how you build the automation. You need that information first there.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're starting off with email automation just because, you know, it's one of the automations that you can start with that gives you a really great visualization of what you're doing, right? Like you can see on our little chart here on the right hand side, you know, visualizing automations is really important, especially once you kind of get into like the nitty gritty of it. They can get really complicated and things, but, you know, starting with email, it's fairly straightforward. You're not using two different programs, intertwining them together, and you're not using tools like Zapier or anything like that. So this is definitely a really good place to kind of get your footing and get comfortable with automation and seeing what automation can do for you.
Yeah. And one of the reasons we're really big fans of ActiveCampaign is, in my opinion, they have one of the strongest automation interfaces of anybody out there with the most triggers and the most possibilities. Mm-hmm. You can also combine that with deep data from Shopify or WooCommerce. So you can get some really fine-grained and specific personalized automations that will make your customers feel very well taken care of, give you deeper data, and understand exactly what it is that they're doing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go.
So this slide, we're just kind of going over, you know, how does this automation work at a really high level, mm-hmm. and where can you use it? Yvonne, do you want to go through this one here?
Yeah. Okay, sure. Here we start with just the first, which is the campaign. Mm-hmm. Do you mind just like going over this?
Okay. Yeah. I don't mind doing it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is an example of an email campaign automation. Now, we do this also with webinars as well. And one of the most important things to keep in mind is, and I don't know if this has ever happened to any of you, I have registered for dozens and dozens of webinars because I thought it was great at the time. It looked good. I'm interested in it. Life happens. I totally forget about the fact that this webinar is even happening. So we use this as a November campaign example. I also believe we have and I can pull it up maybe and send it. I'll just give me a second on that one. Yep. But in this particular case, so the first step is the recipient has either not interacted with the email or the recipient has opened it. Then we have the two steps and we keep funneling these people down. The recipient has clicked the link into the product, right? Now, they would go into a remarketing group or trigger another automation if they did not complete the purchase, mm-hmm. right? Then you can see, well, if they did complete the purchase, we're going to trigger another automation if we went down further down this line, right? Yep. So the recipient opened it but didn't click. So there's some interest. We're going to add a tag to them in our CRM, you know, and call them a browser. We'll put them in the browser segment, right? When mm-hmm. someone gets added to a browser segment, then we launch an informational automation, not too heavy, that talks about all of the benefits that purchasing the product would have for that individual to try to get them over the line. And again, illustrating the benefit to our lead, not talking about us necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the recipient opens, well, if they ignored the email, I don't know how this branch would actually happen. Oh, they ignored the email, so we're going to resend. Yep. So they opened it, but they didn't click. So they're we'll call those a lurker, right? Mm-hmm. So in the lurking stage, what we're going to do is try to get them interested. So we know that they didn't open. We're going to send them a different email, right?
Yep.
Then if they open it but don't click, we're going to call them a lurker. So they're checking it out, but they're not showing a high level of intent. Again, we'll launch another cadence that will communicate with them so that we can get them over into the purchase state, if that makes sense. So it's all about segmentation based on behavior. We want to know what that person is doing. We're basing it here on an open and a click, which is the most basic, mm-hmm. but we can base it on all sorts of behavioral information, whether, you know, how long they stayed on the website, what page they visited specifically, was it a product, what was their you know, did they exit the page or navigate to an FAQ, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Did they add anything to their cart? Things like that.
Yeah. So there's lots of different branches that this can take. And we want to set up rules and trigger and create the content in that to create conversational automations. That's the mm-hmm. most important thing. With your automations, what we see happen with automations is when it's written as if I'm writing you an email, personalize it, as opposed to a campaign style promotional offering. So for example, we've seen increased open rates with straight up, like no HTML, no overstyled HTML, but it looks like the email was written directly to that individual. It indicates a high level of personalization.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Absolutely.
Cool. Let's go. Okay. Yeah, these are just some features of ActiveCampaign.
Yeah, yeah, just some quick features that they provide you with an account. So, of course, you're getting your email automations. Right-hand side is actually a screenshot from their automation platform. It's nicely webbed, and you can actually customize it pretty easily. And then just a few things that we've talked about before, you know, SMS sending, why that's important, predictive context, behavioral tracking. Some of those actually use AI to kind of see when people are most likely to open up their emails.
Yep. This is actually really nice. Actually one of the newest, it's a newer feature from ActiveCampaign. It actually mm-hmm. works really well because it's going to track your email open behaviors for your contacts and understand when they're opening. So when you set up a predictive, that's a predictive send. Sorry, that should be, I think we had a little typo in there. Yeah. But the predictive send will, you have to give yourself a little more time. So if you're looking to rush a campaign out, which is very frequent, don't do it that way because it may, like literally, it could take a week, right? Mm-hmm. If your leads are opening up emails on Sunday afternoon, typically, that's when the platform will send. So you need a 7-day window to do that.
Yep.
SMS sending is actually really crucially important. Because a lot of people are turning to messengers and SMS. I think it's pretty obvious. You see on social media, influencers are using text messaging numbers. But I think consumers are becoming a lot more comfortable with businesses sending, again, the right kind of message, right? So don't blame the hammer if it's bad construction, kind of. There we go. Cool. April's saying, yeah, I've registered for webinars and I've forgotten about it. Happens to all of us. A few nurture emails are great for re-engaging your audience. Yes. So this is a great point, April. So in the reminder, instead of, let's use the webinar example, and I promise to pull this thing up, so I will. Okay. Instead of just harassing and reminding, like, hey, the webinar's in 72 hours, come visit. Is in within that webinar, your webinar guest or the webinar host or wherever you've done it, there will be some knowledge bombs that are being dropped, right? Mm-hmm. Like a real key point, something that's really interesting to the audience. So one of the things that you want to do is you actually want to put that in the content of the email. So again, providing valuable information inside of the automation content. So don't just think about the fact that you've got this web of logic that's happening here and you're sending communications, but what are you saying to your audience is super important.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And even if, the first email that you get is a little bit lighter than the rest, as people are, a little bit more interested in things like that and people are clicking through your emails, you can give them a little bit more information than maybe the first touch base that you would send out, right? Mm-hmm. So strategies like that will definitely help, making the most out of your automations. And like we keep saying before, getting into the psychology of your leads and, seeing what they would like to see from their side.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing here in your automation, and we're going to move on now to Zapier. Mm-hmm. In your automation, you can also have a 24-hour wait and resend the campaign to people who did not open.
Yeah, that's like the bread and butter one that I like using. It's definitely, it's a really nice feature just to kind of make sure that you're getting the most out of your contact leads and that everybody has the chance to open up that email because, it could be a busy day. It kind of got buried in their contact list. Just a good quality of life one.
Yeah, here's the important thing is, you could say, yeah, well, you know what? I can do this all myself. But, mm-hmm. if you have a schedule and you're sending, like with us, we send a substantial number of campaigns for clients based on a week. We may potentially have one person that all they're doing is sending a reminder to unopened email campaign manually when it could be built right into that automation, right? Mm-hmm. So, Matt, I just slacked to the traffic channel. Yep. There we go. So this is the kind of blowing it out a little bit more detail. This is a cadence that we've used to increase webinar registrations by 3 to 4 times. It does work. We've tested it quite frequently. And you can see that we're segmenting, pulling people back into a thank you sequence and a nurture sequence there on the right. Mm-hmm. If you can scroll down a little bit there. Then at the summary, after the webinar has happened, and it's not unusual to get especially these days, 50 to 60% attendance. I would say that's a ballpark number that's pretty accurate in terms of whether it's your virtual event, your live or your live event, or your webinar series, that the thank you wrap up, you get 50 to 60% of people in there. That doesn't mean that those 40% are not interested, right? Mm-hmm. Meeting bookings can happen. We're also in a super saturated time of webinars and live events. And so having the summary on demand, a thank you wrap up and a summary with any takeaways, you can set that up beforehand so that your thank you email, maybe you're sending the deck or the presentation or checklists or assets to people that did, that showed up. You can have that all queued up. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to think about it. That is the power of marketing automation. And without it, I would suggest that you probably won't be able to scale your marketing programs unless you're using marketing automation.
Yeah, it's just impossible to scale without these automation tools. I mean, it's going to make your life that much more difficult going through, you know, hundreds or thousands of leads and making sure everybody's getting the correct emails, right?
For sure. For sure. All right. So we can move on.
Yeah, this one's so now we're going to get into, you know, what tools can we use to create these automations and, you know, what these tools can offer us and what they specifically do to make sure that, you know, your automations are working flawlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Zapier, I mean, we're going to review these fairly quickly. I don't think we need to necessarily dive in because they all have lots of features. Mm-hmm. But Zapier has several other premium features that allow you to do data filtering, data splitting, all sorts of advanced things. We've used them personally, we've used them at Honeypot for very complex integrations. They also log very nicely. They can do notifications. It's extremely powerful interface. Takes a little bit of getting used to, but I would say by and large, it's one of the largest of these codeless API interfaces, which is what an automation platform can help you do.
For sure. Yeah. And they can be, they're pretty easy too. Like we have here, you know, it's a three-step process really where you get the trigger, the action, and then the follow-up. So it's not as in depth as some of these automations can get, but like we said earlier, when we first started live, this is a really good like first step for you to kind of get your toes wet and kind of feel the water out before
you. Well, and Zapier, you know, Zapier, we do, and we have had some very complex Zaps that are running. So while it's simple, there's a lot under the waterline that can get complicated. But the nice thing is that if you're not all that technical, you don't need to be scared of this. It's you can walk through and create simple automations with Zapier. So
yeah, and these platforms are quite large, right? So they have some really good resources and tutorials for you to take advantage of too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so again, trigger action, watch your Zap. And that was, I think, Yvonne's pun. That's why Zapier makes you.
It's, and I just might as well point it out. I believe it is Zapier just because they say it rhymes with happier. So that's how I learned that it might be that way.
I know, but this is getting into like the SEMrush versus SEMrush Twitter debate. It's tomato, tomato. I have to think about saying Zapier as opposed to saying, I know.
Zapier?
It is Zapier.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's Zap.
Yeah,
I don't say Zape. I don't know why I do it. It's me. All right. So let's move on a little bit. And again, you know, this is a little bit of a feature set. You can go to Zapier.com.
Yeah.
I had to think about it consciously. Maybe if I do, how many times do you need to do something until it becomes a habit? What was that again?
Isn't it like 2 weeks or something, like 18 days or something? They say it becomes a habit.
I'll try that.
3 months?
Three months.
No, I thought that was for something else then. That's okay.
Anything is possible. So let's move on. So Zapier is one tool that you can use. Another one that's really cool is Integromat. Now, Integromat, I would venture, gets a little bit weedier. Yvonne, I think you had an experience with it. So what was your experience with it?
I did try. That was when I was working on it. I actually had to move on to another one because there was a lot of things to add to it, and it just wasn't quite working out. But obviously, once you get it down, the more things that you have, the why it's so complicated can make it actually better for you.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair assessment of Integromat. Like these platforms go from being extremely driven towards a coder that would be familiar with things like data structures and how to connect things and what's required and API keys and blah, 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 blah. You've got to do this, that, and the other thing. it's your mileage may vary. It really depends on you. That's why we're featuring several different platforms here. So Integromat, I would say, is from intermediate to advanced with comfort level in tech, because while they do have recipes you can use out of the gate, it very quickly kind of shunts you into quite a bit of detail. Would that be fair, Yvonne? Would you?
For sure. Yeah.
So, but Integromat is a very good platform. It's got some really cool visual tools. Like, that is actually what an Integromat flow looks like.
This one here a little bit, just so you guys can see.
So yeah. So this,
along, I was gonna say, even along with just like a lot of them give you already examples that you can start with and use. So that's very handy that they have like a whole list of them, which is kind of really nice to get yourself started.
100%, 100%. And hopefully, well, this is one of, actually, I don't like the second part because I don't think I would do that. Mm-hmm. Gmail, I don't know if you need to go to Google Sheets, but I actually have an automation that's been running for a long time. When someone sends me an attachment via email, because maybe I delete the email, something happens to it, it goes into an archive. Someone said, yeah, I sent that attachment to you a while ago. A great one, and I might be jumping the gun here, so I apologize if I am, is you could save it. I save Gmail, save attachments to Google Drive, a specific drive, creating a folder with that person's email. So anytime that I get an email from a specific individual, right? Now, it creates a large file, but that's where we have Google Drive Unlimited, so disk space isn't an issue. But it's easy to go back in history and find a file that somebody has sent you. And that's really invaluable because, you know, things happen with data attachments.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Searching through the tens of thousands of emails to find something.
No bueno. No bueno. And look, you know what? I mean, we're joking a little bit about it, but that pain is real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
The pain is real. I have spent sometimes, like, especially if it's important, maybe it's the CRA or something, like, you're trying to find something, and Gmail has one of the better search interfaces, but it can be a nightmare and a huge time suck. Nothing worse than spending over an hour of your day trying to find something, and that level of frustration and anxiety that it can cause.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
So, someone's being GIF or GIF. It's a GIF. Get lost. It's a GIF. It's always it's been a like GIF.
That, peanut butter. GIF is that peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And Sashita is saying it is 21 days. So Sashita is far more responsible than any of the three of us. So I'll believe her.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. And April is saying, I like the sound of Zapier better. I know.
Yes.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm wrong. I'm willing to admit that, because then I'd have to call it a zape. Like, if someone zaped me, right? Yeah. Instead of zap.
That's how I started off too, but
I know. I think I've created a bad thing. So I'm going to work extra hard to call it Zapier.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Again, lots of the Integromat editor is really, really great. The one thing that I would be aware of if you're going to use Integromat is as soon as you start getting into some specific details, it opens up a whole series of things. Like, so all of a sudden you could be doing something in the basics visual editor, and then you're in an advanced editor very quickly. So just be aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I mean, like, definitely you're going to be starting off with these simple integrations, these robust integrations. I think some of the stuff that they're referencing here is even out of some of our wheelhouses within the live, like some of the router settings and the XMLs and blah, 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 blah. But definitely the bread and butter that you're going to want to be going into is the simple integrations at first.
I hate to use somebody else's business name for this, but all a router is an if this, then that condition. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if something is true, go this way, right? Go up. Otherwise, or if something else is true, go down another path. That's really all it is. So yeah, and I think one of the things, I think it's important for everybody, especially marketers, if you're in marketing or if you're a small business, is getting a certain comfort level with technology and not being too scared. Like, this is not coding, it's logic, right? Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have some condition that's true or not true, as an example, right? That's a true false scenario. Or you'll have something like a series of options that could be true, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you can then, with those routers, you can have different outcomes based on different conditions. That's really all that it means. Now, those are principles used in software development. But in this particular case, if you can write it down, right, even on a piece of paper, what happens, then you can create these automations. You really, truly can. And there's, we'll show you IFTTT, which I think is probably one of the friendlier interfaces.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely a little bit easier.
Yeah. Like, I've had that, to be honest with you, I hadn't used it in a while, but I totally forgot that I had it. I mean, that one IFTTT recipe that I've got on my free account, because I don't have the upgraded account, it's been running for like 6 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With a free account? That's pretty good. I'd say that's pretty good. Wow.
Yeah. Go ahead, Yvonne.
I was saying, correct me if I'm wrong, I think IFTTT kind of adds more of the mundane things we do in our everyday life at it, as well as, you know, for marketing, but there's a lot more things too.
Yeah. I see a couple brands here that they have, and I'm eyeing up the Domino's one. So there must be an automation for ordering that extra large cheese pizza.
Well, think about this. I'll give you a sample IFTTT recipe. I'm glad that the numbers of viewers have popped back up, because now we're getting into actual examples here. If you could have Alexa, just say, Alexa, order me pizza. And you can have a specific, Alexa. I have an Alexa in my office here.
I was going to say you're going to have a pizza on the way soon.
It's Friday. I'm okay with that. But you could actually connect up your account properly and have it just automatically order, no muss, no fuss, right? And you can do all sorts of cool stuff like that. So why don't we just, what we can do is we can just very quickly.
This is getting into the good stuff here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, this is a cool one. Yeah. Turn on your porch lights when the pizza's on its way, connected to Domino and Philips Hue, which are lights that I've got, which I have to get to the outside. The one thing about this one is I wish Hue lights would drop in price a little bit.
This one's really good. I like the Twitter one. That one's really, really nice. The tweet your Instagrams as native Twitter photos.
Yeah. As long as, and again, this is somewhere where I would be careful. Just watch automations. They can get out of hand and unruly. So the auto posting, like for a personal account, for sure, go ahead. I like the idea of it as native Twitter photos, because that's always a pain. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the one that I really like, and I'm not sure where you are, where we have it in here.
It's probably lower down.
Yeah, so IFTTT breaks it down into smart home subscription. As you mentioned, Yvonne, like quality of life. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into these. Okay, this is a good one.
Yeah, this is actually the one that I was working on, so I kind of added it to one of our examples, right? So a lot of the time you have so many posts, you can't really keep track. So this is a good way to take all of your Instagram tagged photos to your account and just have them in one spot where you can look at them all and make sure that you've used them all and you haven't duplicated them as well if you plan to use it again.
Exactly. So there's a couple of, from a marketing standpoint, and a whole bunch of standpoints. Number one, it's an archive, a history of your efforts on Instagram. Now, we work with an influencer as a substantial Instagram account today. The amount of activity that gets is not, it's a lot, right? Now, one of the important things is running an automation like this where your posts, so you have your community manager, you're creating posts, and maybe that person moves on and you have to take over that account, right? You are going to have to, otherwise you're going to have to either go through historically whatever posting platform, whether it's Hootsuite, you know, that's not the most convenient thing in the world, right? Scrolling through an Instagram account would not be particularly, it's not a great user interface for that. But by writing these to a Google Sheet, if you're training somebody, you can say, hey, look, here's the last year's worth of posts. Go ahead and have a look. Give us your thoughts. And here are our top performing posts. So you've got that archive for training purposes. Mm-hmm. Right. The other one that I like, and I don't know if it's in here. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
This one is what you just basically talked about. Instead of tagged photos, it's your own photos. So if you're going to be teaching, onboarding people to the account, then you can, of course, do that with all the photos of the account.
And then they can And look, invariably what's happened to us is, you know, clients at the end of the year will say, can I get a summary of everything we've done this year? And it's like, sure, here you go. Yeah. All sorts of great repurposing, because again, you have the creative, but maybe you misplaced the source creative, right? Maybe you can't find it. It acts as an archive so you can reuse that content. And again, disk space is cheap, especially if you've got a upgraded Google Drive account, you should have at least relatively unlimited storage capabilities. Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely. Like this one.
This is a good one. So here the time we like to keep track of current events, which is a good thing, because there's some clients that we have where we like to post and make sure that we know what's going on during the day, because a lot of things happen, right? And mm-hmm. So this is a good way to take all to add a handle for Twitter that you follow to see every new post that pops up, and you can add a Slack channel for that where it'll post all of those new ones and you can easily keep track of them all.
Yeah. So it's a great way. So there, now we're getting into, especially if you're in content marketing or you're trying to figure out, you know, how can I make my content marketing efforts and content creation efforts a little bit smoother and a little, the content marketing is not easy. Content creation is not easy. Like writing, the one challenge that I see all the time is I'm going to write a blog post every day for a year. I actually tried this once. It didn't last. Is not an easy thing to do. You know, that's hard. So content curation, you can create a Twitter list of influencers within your specific domain, you know, and using that specific Twitter list will give you lots of great content from that Slack channel. Create a dedicated Slack channel. And then as a content marketer, I can just go dip into the channel when I'm creating my content, and I can engage. Maybe I'm trying to engage a certain group of people, right? So I can see it and be alerted about it right there. But I can also do roundups, articles. I can, you know, feature their tweets within my articles. So if someone is a real estate or a finance expert and they're posting great stuff on Twitter and I'm putting together an article, I just have to go to the Slack channel to my influencers and start pulling their tweets to integrate into my content. So again, huge time saver.
For sure.
Let's go.
This one was one that I was really interested in. And, you know, it can be either Slack, Discord, anything. But this one's really nice because, you know, Discord is becoming a more accepted platform to communicate with people. It's just not for gaming anymore. It's for a lot more collaboration and things. So this is a really nice one.
Yeah, I think a lot of SaaS products have Discord channels now for customer support and things like that. So, definitely same concept. Let's go. How many examples do we have?
12.
Oh, boy. this one is very good, and I would suggest you use this selectively. Like, don't just any new email. Maybe you've got a VIP client, right? Or, you know, you want to know, or you're working on a support issue, for example. So to be on top of it so that you're aware that something is happening, that is time sensitive, you could create these as well to notify. But definitely don't do it for every email you get. I mean, that wouldn't serve a purpose.
No.
This one's really nice. Right. I like this one.
Yes. So sending Shopify purchase data to Facebook conversions API will then give you that conversion in your Facebook audiences, which you can also use to exclude from your remarketing efforts. What I like to, you know, this happens to me all the time, and I'm not sure why PPC marketers don't do a better job of this is, so you're remarketing to an individual, whether it's Facebook or Google, it doesn't matter. I mean, the fundamentals are the same. As soon as I purchase that product, do I really want to be running that last remarketing campaign and spending money, you know, to get in front of those people when they've just purchased the product? I should know that using the Facebook conversion API and create an audience of people that have purchased my product. And then what I could do is I could start to launch a, you know, whether it's 7 days from the time of purchase or however you want to structure the logic, is actually run a Facebook campaign for a review. Like it's going to be a small audience, but you can reach those people in an automated way.
Absolutely.
Cool.
This one's really good, Yvonne. This one, we were talking about this one before we got on.
Yeah, actually, we had decided to change it to another a Facebook page, or was it a group?
Right, it was Facebook groups.
Yeah. It was a Facebook group. So, well, because a lot of the time we want to share our content, you know, branch and get it out there and have more engagement with our posts. So, it's if you can automatically schedule a few of the posts that you already do, it'd make it a lot easier than having to go to each group and posting in them yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I thought I did change that. That's weird.
I've re-downloaded it too. So,
oh, you've got a PDF.
Yeah, it works a lot better for the lives than the other thing. That's for sure. Alrighty, this one's save a new page Shopify order to a Google Sheet spreadsheet. This is really good for keeping track of your orders on a separate kind of platform.
I think it's a backup. It's an archive. Your bookkeeper may want to go through it. You know, I know that. Especially when it comes to finance and admin, some bookkeeping professionals are a little bit more traditional and they like to go through these things. So again, it's a convenience, it's a backup. Again, automating the stuff will save you a ton of time.
Okay, tweet your Instagram as native Twitter photos. Again, this one's really nice.
Yep. There's not much to say about that.
No, except,
This is where like the mundane ones, quality of life ones, Lex 3 we've got.
Just so you said that you tried this one today.
I did. Unfortunately, it did. So it worked. I added the account, the number, so it connected me through Google. It just, I wasn't near a Google assistant, but everything else was working. But yeah, so it would be great because a lot of the time I don't know where my phone is. So it would be perfect for me to just yell out, where is it? So that I don't have to search for it.
I'm not sure. Was this in IFTTT? Does it support, is this just Android specific or is it iPhone specific as well? Is there an iPhone one?
I don't remember. There was only just a connect on it. So I think so. It just went right to my phone. So
you try it with an Android?
It was just an Android.
Okay. I'm going to try this one this weekend and I'll report back because the most powerful thing about this happens to me all the time, is my phone is always typically on mute or vibrate. Unless something's going on and it's like, okay, I need to know, right, what's happening. Mm-hmm. But turning on your ringtone and calling your phone, turning on the ringtone is the key there, right? Yep. If there's one thing about the iPhone that I do miss is find your iPhone, because it does that automatically too, unless your phone is completely dead. But yes, this, I've walked around for like an hour sometimes trying to find my phone. So
yeah, that and card keys.
I'm getting better. Yep.
Yep. Alrighty, this one, so 11.
We didn't get the right PDF.
Yeah. That's okay, though. So this one is, instead
just flip over to the, do you have the G Sheet one?
Yeah, let me see.
That's embarrassing. That's the wrong, that's totally the wrong logos.
Who made that slide? We should fire them.
Here we go, it's guys. Okay.
Yvonne's a very busy guy these days. So we have forgiveness in our hearts. Boom. There we go. So if you're streaming, live streaming, or you could do, you know, a Facebook Live as well. Now, the one thing with this is just watch how automated it feels. You know what I mean? Like if you're going to your Twitter account and you're not posting anything else up and your whole Twitter feed becomes, I'm live on Twitch. I think a lot of these, you can have even a file that reads, you could write up 30 different posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have IFTT load those from the CSV file from Google Drive. You can keep adding them and randomly select one of the messages to auto post from. So you get that feeling that the automation is natural and not just using one line of text to repeatedly say the same thing. That's true. A trick with automations.
And you could also go, instead of using Twitter, this is a great one to use Discord, or you create a channel where you can go to their channel if you're following them, and then that'll be the updates when they're live. And that way it's not all in your face all the time. You can just go to that channel to see it.
Absolutely. Yep. So yeah, just warning with automations, a poorly done automation will be very obvious. A really well done automation will be a very subtle and people, you know, may not notice. And again,
that's a goal.
Save yourself time. Yep.
Save the best for last.
Exactly. And if you are a Twitch streamer by some, you know, a stretch of the imagination, that would probably be a smaller group of our audience. I can't remember the name of the app, but there is an app that you can add notifications whenever anybody, especially if you're a smaller streamer, and you're trying to grow, you want to engage your audience, but you could be just staring at the chat screen, it will automatically notify you with an audio cue whenever somebody posts a comment, so you can focus on your gameplay as opposed to staring at that chat.
Yeah, that's a really good tip.
This one's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's self-explanatory. Just you get an SMS to your a text message to your phone when about the weather, and you can choose what time of day you want to get it.
This is a uniquely Canadian.
Yeah, Canadians, we love our weather, right?
Well, because it's so different from day to day.
Yeah, imagine that, eh?
It could be 10 degrees tomorrow, or it could be minus 30, honestly.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, so we're a little bit over time, so thanks for sticking with us, everybody. Just on the recap, so marketing automation tools can make your jobs, not a little, I think a lot easier. If you count up all of the things you're manually trying to do in a day, if there's a way that you can automate it, you're going to save yourself so much time. Reduce stress, reduce anxiety, increase productivity, and there's a lot of tools that you can use. The one here, Phantom Buster, just beware, and a word of warning with Instagram. So technically Instagram does not like automations, and specifically what they're talking about are follower, unfollower, and interaction automations. It's actually, I believe, now against their terms of service specifically, but things like backing up and archiving, be careful with Instagram, because Instagram may ask you to verify your account. And if you're too aggressive, you could get a strike against your account and have stuff to sort out with their customer service team.
Yeah. So don't go too ham on the social media automations, but there's definitely some good ones that can help you just quality of life.
Yep. Yeah, I actually used Phantom Buster to set up the automation that I had just recently done. It was a little confusing, and it's good that they have a lot of tutorials. So if you don't know exactly what they're asking for, they have a lot of help with that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And so that's it for episode 163 of Live at the Hive Digital Marketing from the Trenches. We hope you got something out of our little automation discussion, something a little fresh and new. And save yourself some time, and have yourselves a great weekend.
See you guys, 164.
See you later.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.